Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What's your favorite Texans offseason move of the 2025 offseason? We want to hear from you. 713-572-4610 is the way to get a hold of us on the telephone. You can also check us out on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers YouTube and Twitch streams, and you can interact in the chats as well. Let us know, what do you think is, or not even what do you think, what is your actual favorite move? Not the best per se, and it can be carryover. Maybe your favorite is the best. Maybe the best is your favorite. That's up to you. But your favorite move that the Texans have made this offseason, this is inspired by Mike Sando at The Athletic, of listing his favorite offseason move from each NFL team. We'll read in a second what he had to say about the Texans. But we talked about this earlier in the show, Seth. And we got a few responses, and a couple of them are pretty funny from the 832. Thank God we traded away Mr. False Start. I was so happy. So like their favorite move was trading away the only good offensive lineman on an offensive line that was bad. And look, I know a lot of people were in support of that, and I understand it, but it is interesting that would be someone's favorite move was trading away your Pro Bowl left tackle.
But from the fan experience, the you can't overstate how infuriating it would become when in these critical situations there'd be a whistle, a flag on the field, and you just knew, oh, it's freaking Laramie, isn't it? And that just sticks with you. And so many times when Laramie was doing it, it was in critical situations, or it was something that turned a second and four into a second and nine, whatever it might be, that throw all the PFF grades and everything else out of it, throw the fact that he's a mediocre run blocker out of it, all of that. It was just the whole way Laramie operated, where not only was he committing the false starts, but refused to accept any responsibility for it. It wasn't until midway through this year that I think I can ever remember seeing Laramie Tunsil feel bad about a penalty. Yeah. And that was when he was illegally downfield on a screen. And that was the only time I can remember on television seeing him look at like, oh, I screwed up. Usually it was him just like with a look of disbelief. Oh, I can't believe you called that a false start just because I was two steps out of my stance before the ball was snapped.
Or sometimes what would bother me was sometimes he'd look around as if he was the only one who had the snap count right.
He'd blame the center. He would insinuate that it was the center's fault. And meanwhile, it would be nobody else was having an issue with the center.
Right.
It was the center's fault, even though everybody else managed to hold their water on that play.
And then on top of that, and maybe I could get past that, and this is where the whole not showing up to the voluntary stuff would bother me, because like I'm not the guy that wants to guilt anybody for not showing up to voluntary work. They tell you you don't have to be there. You're going to get paid anyway, even if you don't show up. I'm totally fine for the most part with guys deciding to do that, you know, on their own time, however they want to do it. But when it manifests like this, and this is your quote unquote leader, he was a team captain at one point, he's the best player on the unit, one of the best players on the team, and then something as like small but still as important as getting the snap count down, I couldn't help but to think, and I'm not a football player, right? I couldn't help right. but to think, man, you know what? It feels like just logic, being a logical human, a logical person, it seems like it would help to be around more or to be around earlier. And maybe that's
show up.
Yeah, that seems like that's the type of thing that you might be able to mitigate with more reps and time.
This is what was bothering me about last year when he was on an historic pace. Like, he was going to obliterate any kind of record for penalties. And then he got it to his credit. He figured it out midway through the season and he stopped. It's people would explain, they'd go out of their way to explain, well, he's just trying to time the snap count to get as good a, to get as much of an advantage as possible. Yeah, I know that. I know that's what he's trying to do. The really, really good offensive tackles tend to not do that. Like, they get two or three false starts per year,
yeah.
Not 15 plus false starts per year. So that's a...
If they are doing it, they're doing it a whole hell of a lot better than this guy's apparently,
you know,
doing it.
And that's what would drive me insane, is that people would love to bring up his PFF grades, and you look at the pass protection grades. Well, yeah, that's great, but he's not getting docked for all those false starts. So meanwhile... Yeah, it's no big deal if it goes from 2nd and 6 to 2nd and 11 for Laremy Tunsil, because he's still going to do a good job in pass protection on that play. But then you've got your Kenyon Greens, your aging Shaq Masons, whoever's playing center that day. Those guys have to deal with a 2nd and 11 now. And it's just, it was a complete independent operator state of mind where he just flat out didn't care as long as Laremy was getting his good pass protection grades. People would bring up his his PFF pass protection grades, and then curiously leave out his overall PFF grades, which were much less impressive than his pass protection grades, as they were trying to go on their Laremy Tunsil apology tour.
We love Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware around here, voices of the Texans. Mark Vandermeer, the play-by-play voice of the Texans, and Andre Ware, the color commentary and analyst for the Texans. I knew right here on Sports Radio 610, by the way, I knew it was bad with Laremy Tunsil when Andre Ware started to sound like this on our very airwaves.
Looks like a false start on the Texans. Let's find out who.
Before the snap, false start. Offense, number 78. It's a 5-yard penalty. Still first down.
He got it out of the way early. Laremy Tunsil.
It's every week, though. I mean, you're a Pro Bowl player. There's no excuse for that. None.
Back to the 15 we go.
You see Mark try to work through it, and Andre's like, no, wait a minute now. That's supposed to be a Pro Bowl player, and this is happening. Like, I knew it was bad when our own radio broadcast guys and a guy like Andre Ware, who's kind of been letting it loose a little bit more in recent years, but when he is that impatient with you, it tells a lot. And of course they watch and call every snap of every game for the Texans, but man, it just, at some point it got really exhausting, as good and as talented as he is. Cause I don't deny what the Pro Football Focus grades are trying to tell you about how good he is in pass protection, but everything you say is correct, that it is void of the context of him putting your offense behind the eight ball time and time and time again. It was really frustrating to watch.
The worst one, it was the Minnesota game when the Texans were at the Minnesota 31-yard line, you know, right there in field goal position. It's 1st and 10. They end up getting it they got it down to the Minnesota 27, sorry, on 2nd and 6. So it's 3rd and 4. Hey, that's 3rd and very makeable at that point. Titus Howard, false start. Next play, okay, now it's 3rd and 9. Juice Scruggs, false start. And neither of those are Laremy Tunsil, I get it. But this is where the leadership portion comes in. 3rd and 14, penalty, false start on Laremy Tunsil. And then 3rd and 19, illegal formation, Laremy Tunsil. Like, it was just, it was, that was when Laremy Tunsil being the third and fourth on four consecutive pre-snap penalties. That was an abomination. That Bobby Slowick should have been fired on the spot, and then you still should have traded Laremy Tunsil in the offseason, because that was just a complete train wreck of taking points off the board because you guys could not function like a lot of really good high school offenses. You go to any of these good high schools around in Texas, they do a better job of not having four consecutive pre-snap penalties.
See, but you saying this right now, Seth, makes me feel validated in my take of that week. Like, I came back, so following that game, either on, it would have either been my Tuesday hit within the loop or my Wednesday hit with the drive. But on one of those two appearances, maybe even both of them, I was ready to bench Laremy Tunsil as more of a symbolic thing. Like, yeah. And I know that, you know, even in the moment it sounds ridiculous, and maybe it sounds ridiculous now because they did not have a better option at left tackle than Laremy Tunsil if healthy. Like, that would have probably been a drastic and like a drastic overreaction, but it felt appropriate given the moment. Like, I don't know how you either send a message or how somebody is supposed to learn a lesson if there are no consequences beyond just, oh, now we're in whatever it is and long, and oh, guess what? By the way, the best thing that I do is protect us in these situations. So, like you said, it's really no skin off my back, it's skin off the back of the others. Like, without some kind of action to show that, hey, we're not going to accept this. I didn't really know what they were supposed to do, but I feel validated somewhat in the sense that they moved on, and I don't think it was just because of that. It was probably more so because of the financial reasons and everything that's coming up for them in terms of bills being due. But I do feel somewhat validated in how I felt. Even if my feeling didn't translate to logic and reason, my feeling, I feel like, was appropriate at that time, because even as good as he was or as good as he is, you just cannot have that. Like, that, it can't be this. This cannot be what we put out. This cannot be the example that we set for others.
It's exactly right. And it's not the one thing that was wrong with the offense or anything else. But when you're looking at a situation where obviously the team got rid of three starting offensive linemen, the offensive line coach, who was probably going to retire anyway, and Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, there were multiple things wrong there. But in one of those things, when you're trying to get the offense to operate more like the defense, just to play with a swarm mentality, to care about the little things, all of that, you can't have the highest paid guy on your team or one of the highest paid guys on your team who your young quarterback has cited as a vet. He doesn't do anything extra during practice. That's CJ's impression of what a vet does. Nothing extra during practice. That's great. That's a great influence on everybody. Everything you said is true. Like, but at the same time, CJ Stroud's getting murdered back here. We can't right now in season. It's not like you can bench Laremy Tunsil. It's something that had to be taken care of in the offseason. There's a reason. Laremy Tunsil is awesome in pass protection, and yet he's been traded off of two different teams now. That doesn't happen. Teams cling on to genuinely great offensive tackles as much as they can, unless there's an issue either with the player or the team. You don't get traded twice.
Not only traded twice, traded off of two different teams, but I would point out two different teams that have still had to try to figure out their offensive line post Laremy Tunsil. Like with the Dolphins, their offensive line was a mess for a long time. It's not like they traded them and they just had these answers, these next up answers, ready-made answers for their offensive line. They've been trying to piece it together damn near ever since. The Texans, another example. Like, I think most people feel pretty good about the decision and the direction that they're trying to go in, but I'll be damned if we'll say that they got that offensive line figured out. Like, he's been traded off of teams, but specifically teams with offensive lines that were still somewhat in peril at the time that he was traded. I think that says a lot.
And by the way, everybody, just in case you were wondering, Laremy Tunsil will not be participating in OTAs with the Washington Commanders, or at least as of earlier this week. People in Washington are super excited about the Laremy Tunsil trade, and understandably so. I mean, like, I'm not trying to sit here and act like he's a trash football player or anything. Very, very good in pass protection. That's pretty much it. But it's important. And people are thinking, all right, yeah, now we're going to get this thing together. And Jaden Daniels is going to, we're not going to see him for a while. Okay. Yeah. All right. I get it.
Yeah.
Which, Lots of veterans sit out of OTAs and everything, but it is a little bit of a crestfall when one of the big name guys that's supposed to be helping the younger players on your team isn't out there at a vitally important position. People in Washington are trying not to be too upset about it, but I have seen headlines of Laramie Tunsil blasted by local sports radio hosts, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and look, I know that the Washington fan base is a fairly astute one, and they've had some rough years, but they know their football and they know their NFL. I would imagine, or would at least expect, I'll say this, I would have at least expected Washington media and Commanders fans to have done a little bit of their research, because it does not take very long from, honestly, the years that he's been here and our coverage, like just our market coverage of Laramie Tunsil. It does not take very long to learn and to figure out that this guy is only going to show up when it's time to punch the clock. Like when he when he is on the clock, when he is getting paid or paid to be there or not getting fined to not be there, that is when he will show up, and not a minute sooner and not a minute later.
The Laramie Tunsil trade is my favorite move of the offseason, partly because it also provided me some sports hatred for a team that I was struggling to hate. I was happy about the Commanders. I was impressed with Jaden Daniels. I thought, oh, that's great. Finally, this team gets, and their fan base gets some hope, some shine, all of that. And yet now, I am invested in them collapsing and falling and burning to the ground. Yeah. And it's not just because of Laramie Tunsil. It's because I've spent the whole offseason now being kind of jealous and petty about it. I'm like, yeah, that was us last year. Yep, talking about all these great things to come. Washington did the exact same thing the Texans did after they had a promising year with their first-year quarterback. They went out and they were aggressive in free agency. That's what the Texans did last year. They were aggressive in free agency, trying to build this team around your young quarterback, and in year two, everything fizzled to an extreme degree. So yes, I need the Commanders to fizzle and fail.
I suspect, though, Seth, you're going to have to settle for some kind of compromise or some type of meeting in the middle, because I do think that Laramie Tunsil is going to be good for them and is going to be an awesome pass protector for Jaden Daniels. But at the same time, I feel like, because they're going to play plenty of big games here in the future, we're still going to have those moments, and we're going to see it, and we're going to be all too familiar with it as Texans fans. Up, false start, illegal procedure. There's Laramie Tunsil moving the chains backwards and not forwards. Like, that's going to happen, along with the fact that they will have upgraded at that position. Both things are going to be true, I think.
That's where this is going to be fun. If you don't follow Texans commenter on X, I encourage you to do so. He's a really good, he has a podcast, does a lot of stuff, but he also is a really good aggregator of good video content. Guys like Texans commenter are going to have every single Laramie Tunsil false start. You're going to see, it's going to pop up on your timeline. Look at this. What do we have here? The other part about the Commanders that I have a hard time hating is that Jason Simmons, who's one of my favorite teammates of all time, is the defensive pass game coordinator for the Commanders. So that's on the defensive side of the ball. I could hope for the Commanders defense to continue to grow and improve and be good, but I need the offense to fail miserably.
One other text message we got from the 231, firing Bobby made me feel great. This was in response to your favorite Texans offseason. Where does that rank for you, Seth?
Yes, you know what, God, that's, I kind of lumped that in with the Laramie Tunsil trade, just the complete, the like, D'Amico acted like he was Stalin, man. He just purged anything and everything on the offense just to try to get some new blood in there. That was the thing that we were most doubtful about.
Yeah.
I didn't know if D'Amico either had it in him or would see, because it's a tough situation where you hire your buddy and you've got this, blood brother pact from back in the day in San Francisco when you guys were quality control coaches together. That, hey, which I always like to imagine, like the Bobby and D'Amico promising to each other that they'll take the other one with them when they get a head coaching job. Like, that's a pretty one-sided arrangement there. Like, D'Amico is clearly on a fast track from the get-go. So I didn't know if he had it in him, or if, I don't know if he'd have blind spots and not really see how much of an issue everything was offensively, but that was impressive, you know, for something that was probably really hard for D'Amico to do. That was the best thing for the team, is that you gotta move forward, and they were taking a step back instead.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
I just love that it feels like the public at large is having its fun with the Stephon Diggs substance story. And not taking it too seriously. You know, life is short. They're on a boat. They're having a good time. And I think people are really just kind of looking at this like, hey, man, these are the breaks. This is the cost of doing business with a high-profile wide receiver like Stephon Diggs, like a guy that's had multiple contracts now. This guy is rich. He's famous. And he's on a boat. And he's got a substance. We've seen people call it pink creatine. We've seen people say that, hey.
Clearly, it's a pre-workout powder, obviously. Yeah. He's just getting ready for his post-boat workout.
All a part of the plot. All a part of the plan. This isn't a deviation at all. No, sir. No, sir. Not at all. This is just a fairly normal thing. Also, people saying this is true wide receiver one type of behavior. Like, you may not like your wide receivers, diva wide receivers, as they say, but this is what it looks like. Like, this is what the premier. Now, the question is Stephon Diggs at his age and given now the more recent injury history, is he still, closer to being that elite guy? But I mean, this is how they behave. This is how they tend to act at times, a little bit high maintenance and maybe making you worry a little bit more than you would like to normally worry about what your players are doing in the offseason.
Yeah.
Fair to say.
That's especially when OTAs are going on up in New England and he's a brand new guy and a brand new team with a brand new offense. And we saw how good he was with the younger players last year. He's only 6 months or 7 months removed from his ACL, so he probably wouldn't be doing much in OTAs. But it's nice to have him around. Mentoring and tutoring and teaching them exactly where, when, where, and how to carry your pink substance in a baggie. These are the lessons the young guys need.
Now, I'll tell you who I'm absolutely not worried about at all when it comes to this sort of thing, and that's Will Anderson Jr. Now, that's probably in part too because I've met Will Anderson Sr. and like this guy comes from all of the right stuff. But when we talk about Will Anderson, man, I don't know if this guy has ever lost a press conference. He's probably won every press conference that he's ever taken part of. But hearing from him yesterday and just sort of the energy and the passion that he brings to it makes you really feel like, or at least me, makes me really feel like this is a big Will Anderson year coming. Like when we talk about CJ Stroud being, you know, on the year before you're going to pay the quarterback, but you're also having a similar conversation with Will Anderson Jr. And I'm just excited about the type of season that he can have. Like, it's sort of the opposite what happened on the defensive side, right? Like, both of these guys were rookie of the year. I'm talking about Stroud and Anderson, rookie of the year on their respective side of the ball. Stroud, not all of his own fault, but in part because of his own performance as well, seemed to take at least some step back, or at the very least was kind of stagnant in his growth. Whereas Will Anderson, I thought, took a leap, took a bit of a step and improved in ways from his rookie year to his second year that are encouraging and makes you feel like it's going to be a similar thing going from year two to year three when he talks about being more precise, using his hands better. It was just really kind of cool to listen to Will Anderson talk about improving, not adding to his arsenal, but fine-tuning and improving the things that he already does really well.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's coming out here. I was all, like, fired up and everything like that. And, you know, D'Amico pulled me to the side and was like, you know, now it's just fine-tuning those little things of your game. Like, how precise can you be? How good can you be at taking the next step? And for me, it's just like, when I'm on a block, using my hands better, getting off blocks, my escape, when I'm rushing the passer, like, am I reaching with precision on the quarterback? Can I get some strip sacks, stuff like that? So, like, those are the things I want to work on this offseason, this time doing OTAs and really just getting precise at those things and taking my game to the next level.
What do you feel like, Seth? What is that type of precision do you feel like does for Will Anderson's game and taking it to the next level?
For a lot with Will, the transition he made from year one to year two and what he got better at was just hitting his moves more quickly and having everything just kind of like in your sequence as a pass rusher from your get off to when you're closing in on the offensive tackle to which move you hit and then which counter move you hit. Like, in his rookie year, it was kind of mechanical. Last year, it just flowed. And, like, this year, he just needs to continue basically doing all the same things he was doing. It's just he needs the muscle memory. And I think he used muscle memory in one of his quotes from a couple weeks ago in an interview. The muscle memory for all of that stuff to happen automatically. And that's where, like, when Will came out, one of the knocks against him was that, hey, he's pretty raw and unpolished as a pass rusher. And that was accurate. He really did not have a lot of polish. He wasn't like guys that have been playing about 4-3 defensive end their entire careers from high school on into college. He was a guy who had played on the line. He had played off-ball linebacker. He was never really a genuine, just wide-aligned pass rusher. So he had a lot of work to do. In his rookie year, he made a lot of progress with that. Last year, it just looked more automatic. And there's nothing mystical or magical about it. He just needs to keep drilling the stuff that he does to get to the point where it's just grooved in ridiculous. Like, when you would watch J.J. Watt play, it's not like J.J. had a huge arsenal of plays or of pass rush moves, but he was so quick and effective and powerful with it that it didn't matter. It's like a pitcher that only has two pitches. It doesn't matter what you're seeing. As long as those two pitches offset each other and keep the batter uncomfortable, that's enough. And I think Will is that way. It's just a matter of just continuing to get better at his core business.
Yeah, there's something to be said for being a force. And I think JJ was this way and Will is this way. Just being a force in and of himself, but then also that motor. Like there's just something to be said for being strong, powerful, and trying your hardest all the time, you know, like all the damn time. And I think that part of it goes a long way. This was also Will Anderson in talking about his goals going into year three?
Yeah, doing this, like, the phase one, phase two. Coach Rod, I think he's been doing an excellent job. Like, we do these things called pro grows, and that's when we go back and look at all the tape from last year. And he did a really good job of putting together a really good presentation for each and one of us. And for me, mine's just reaching with precision. So after practice or during practice when I'm not in, we're getting on the dummies, we're reaching, we're going through bags, been in the corner, reaching with precision, stuff like that, and just making sure that it's just muscle memory. So when you get on Sunday, you're just doing it.
Yeah. So but you were talking about the – I think you mentioned muscle memory quote. There is one right there, like just kind of repetition and getting it going. And really it's just sort of some of the little things, right? Like just kind of the repeatability of it all. I really think that Will Anderson is primed for a hell of a season after hearing some of that.
His pro grow tape last year, he was about getting separation at the top of his rush. And if you think about Will in his rookie year, a lot of times he would get to the top of his rush, like when you're getting back to the depth of the quarterback, and he would just turn everything into a bull rush. And he'd just kind of lock horns. And in college, you can be a bull in a china shop. In the NFL, when you try to be a bull in a china shop all the time, you realize that, oh, some of these figurines are made of solid lead. I just can't. It's not going to work. I gotta add something to this. And he did. He got a lot better at creating separation. And a lot of times that created more opportunities to disengage and get a guy when he started scrambling out of the pocket. He got a lot better with that. I assume that when he meant reaching, he was talking about the finish of just going for the strip sack.
Yeah.
Unless he was talking about something else.
And I think it's important to point out, he's talking about Rod Wright, the defensive line coach, showing them what they need to improve on. And that was part of his tape, but he also spoke at some point in this availability about that being kind of a theme for the defense, right? Of just like finishing plays and not leaving as much meat on the bone, and like just all of the opportunities that were left out there that were left out there on the field for that very reason. Just the idea of finishing plays, finishing through with the plays is what it sounded like to me.
And you think just about that, that simple act alone of just getting the ball off of the quarterback's hand when you haven't even necessarily had to win the pass rush. You just got to get close enough. That's what Will has always been really good at doing, because he can compress the pocket even if he's not necessarily winning the rush. But just so when you get in proximity, there's a million different ways you can finish that play. The guys that have a knack for getting the ball right out of the quarterback's hands, that can be worth like an extra 3 or 4 sacks a year. That ends up being the difference between, you know, like Robert Mathis was awesome, and he was an undersized guy. He was only 6'2", but he was brilliant at strip sacking the quarterback. And like without that one skill, he's probably not nearly as high on the all-time sack leader.
Should mention that Crosstalk is brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing. As we welcome in the fellas from In the Loop, Reginald Altatula, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, I'm sure is also in the building or shortly going to be here shortly. Fellas, I don't know what y'all's OTA takeaways were mainly. I'm sure we'll hear them from 10 to 2 today on the program. But the Will Anderson thing, I was just saying a moment ago, I don't feel like the dude has ever lost a press conference. And every time he gets up there and talks, it inspires me just a little bit. Like, I ain't nobody's football player, right? But I'll run through a wall listening to Will Anderson talk, and just hearing from him has me really optimistic about the season that the dude's going to have.
Yeah, like, he gives off a air that is wise beyond his years, and it gives me a level of peace. Like, whatever is going to happen, I know that he is going to make sure that it goes well. Like, he is going to have the right answer for it. And I also appreciated both of you guys like breaking this down over the course of the show, but kind of talking about how it's really just refining what he has already. Like, he already has all the goods, basically. And it made me think of, you named, Seth, a few players that kind of have had various, you mentioned JJ and like not having, like, I guess what in basketball terms we would be like the deep bag or what have you, but like the things that you do, doing them incredibly well. And I just keep thinking Julius Peppers, like how everybody knew that spin was coming, but that spin would work every single time. I'm like, if he gets to that place where it's just like whatever he's coming at you with, it's going to work and be effective no matter what you got coming.
Dwight Freeney was like that.
Yes,
same thing.
Right. I can only imagine what this looks like in a level of like effectiveness that it seems like he is working towards. And of course, because he is Will Anderson Jr. and he talks the way that he does, it feels like I'm guaranteed that he gets there. You know,
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he was talking yesterday like he'd had a sniff of that pink baggie or something. He he's yeah, that Will is a guy who never, ever, ever, ever needs to dabble in or experiment with any kind of stimulants whatsoever. And I would include coffee in that.
Yeah.
He was talking a million miles a minute there.
He was.
Yeah.
Watch out, opposing offensive linemen. If this dude gets a hold of whatever is in Stephon Diggs' bag, watch out.
I feel like we should be very clear in making the case that I don't think that he is dealing with any pink baggies.
I don't even want to get close to this.
No. No, if he got a hold of something that was in that baggie, Will would have the entire house cleaned in 37 minutes flat.
Is that what happened to LT?
Where's Will? I don't know. He's up in the attic, fine cleaning the attic.
He's
with a
vacuuming
cleaner.
The attic.
Yeah, pass rushing is the last thing that you got to worry about. This dude is taking care of business.
Mm-hmm.
But
got his next 3 years taxes done already.
Exactly.
Will Anderson Jr. on the limitless drug? Like, is that what we're doing here? Yes. Like, he'd end world hunger, right? Like, I feel like Will Anderson Jr. on the limitless drug would get a lot of things done.
I feel like we're kind of making the case for him doing it, though. So, like, we should probably back away from that.
Why said the limitless drug?
I feel like
drug.
We're making a little too much of a case for cocaine. We better back off on that, too. Kids, you'll get your house cleaned, and then you'll lose your entire family sometime a month later.
D&M okay. Auto Leasing is sponsoring the crosstalk. They are not sponsoring that level of commentary.
Exactly.
I can guarantee you that 100%. What about y'all?
I'd say I warned them. They'd lose their whole families.
What about y'all before we kick it off to y'all in terms of overreactions? I know y'all going to get to it on the show, but did y'all have anything that you had a visceral reaction to from OTAs, from the first practice of OTAs yesterday?
Well, I don't know if it's a visceral reaction as much as a question. And it has to do with C.J. Stroud not throwing.
Okay. You can interest me in that.
10-20.
Okay. Is that so that's not the question of the day, because the question of the day is at 10:40. What's your question of the day?
Question of the day might have something to do with C.J. Stroud, too. What's the worst reason you ever had to miss something?
Ah. So we've got
a... Do you mean a worst reason as in, like, it was genuinely a bad thing?
Yeah, like, you shouldn't have missed it, but you missed it for this reason.
Dude, I appreciate the C.J. Stroud-inspired 10 o'clock hour. I am 100% here for that.
No, I guess I'm still... Do you mean, though, that your excuse, like whatever your excuse was, wasn't actually that good of an excuse?
No. It was actually true. I'll give you an example.
I feel like you can go either way with that.
Yeah, you
I'm
can.
I'm still interested in what your answer is,
I'll give you
though.
An example for my for the 10-40 question of the day. I actually cut short my honeymoon.
Oh, no.
I cut short my honeymoon by 2 days to do something. It was real. I mean, it's a real reason I did it.
I'm gonna have to. I'm
what you
to
had to do.
Did you say what it was?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you now, and I'll revisit it at. So Shelby Metcalf, legendary basketball coach at Texas A&M. I was in his office, and I said, "Hey, just want you to know, I'm getting married this weekend, but I'll be back for the Southwest Conference basketball tournament." And I had originally had a 7-day honeymoon. I cut it to 5 days, and he looked at me with this quizzical look, and he was a really funny guy. And he goes, "John, if you're cutting your honeymoon short for basketball, there's either something I don't know about basketball or something you don't know about honeymoon."
Yeah. Or something that he didn't know about you.
Right. Then he sat down and gave you the talk.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, do you know what they do there?
When a man and a woman love each other.
And then you explain to him, but after 5 days of it, you know, you kind of figured out all
a man can only do so much.
Yeah. It start hurting after a while.
That's right.
Yeah, man, it's all
I guess,
good.
You know what? That reminds me of the...
I'm like, wait, are we just going to skip by the fact that B. Scott might need to go get something tested?
You shoot too many rounds, I'm just saying.
Go ahead, Seth. You think that this is consecutively? Like, you're just going to continue? Like, that's the whole honeymoon? Is it?
7 days of it.
No, I remember it was something, it was for a good reason. I was supposed to do something with my girlfriend in college. This is just the first thing that popped into my head. But then my college coach called me and said they had a big recruit coming in and they wanted me to host him. So I told my girlfriend, like, "Listen, I really don't think I should turn this down. Like, they really want me to do this." And she pulled the old, "What do you love more, football or me?
Oh, God.
And then I realized in that moment, I totally love football more than you.
I don't even have to
entertain the question. The fact that you asked, that you tried to pull the old false dilemma on me. Yeah. I was like, I don't know. And that was it for us.
Yeah.
For at least a month or two.
The fact that she had the nerve to think that that was a legitimate question.
Hey,
I hope no one ever told her that there's no such thing as a bad question, because that'd be one of them.
Because you know what happens with that. It never stops. Do you love work or me more? Like, when they start presenting you with these either-or situations, all right, you're not an adult, okay?
I'll give you a list.
You don't understand compromise or anything about it.
A good reminder of not asking questions that you don't want answers.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. When you ask the questions, you do not get to pick the answers. That's just the reality of it.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Yeah, happy Friday to you. You are indeed listening to In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atatulu, who's myself, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you. Might be a little gloomy outside, but we're having a lot of fun as many people are already paling falling to the challenge that was the championship word at the Scripps Spelling Bee yesterday. A. Claire C. Small. Thank you. From the 832, they said, I could use it in a sentence. I was at the donut shop, and I told the lady, hey, that eclair seems small.
It's a small eclair.
Don't look it up, or if you
A-Claire
do, at least.
A. Small.
Don't tell us, because I'm planning on pondering on this during the whole show, and I'll give you, I think I can hit this at the end of the show. However, the difficulty here is, I don't know if it's harder or easier than I anticipated, because who walked in was our program director.
Fifth grade Parker. Spelling bee champ.
Yes, that is also a part of his resume. And he nailed it, apparently. I was not listening because, again, I take this thing serious.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he nailed it. So people out here already weighing in that it was very much not what they had anticipated.
Yeah.
Had they when they Googled it. So we'll see what that looks like.
Let's go, Reggie, spell that bad boy from the
show. I mean, I've written it down, so I have given it an attempt here in my book, not my notebook. We'll
I think
talk
he got
about
this.
That as we go.
Somebody said, use it in a sentence, J-Lo. I don't know if I can. I don't even know what it means.
There you go.
Claire C. Small.
Excellent. All right. So I guess I'm in the football mood because I'm calling an audible. We will circle back around to talking about the Astros, but there's more stuff happening at OTAs at practice for the Texans, and some things that I feel that we're already getting out of it that feel really interesting. All right, so we're going to play a little choose your own adventure here, John Lopez. You good with that?
I am.
All right, so there, yes, it's a French-ass name, Yvonne. but yeah, do you want to go O-line or do you want to go quarterback?
Well,
we said a quarterback, right? We got to worry about quarterback, right?
The old newsman in me says,
if it bleeds, it leads.
We got our franchise quarterback. What we need to worry about that for?
What's the headline?
He ain't hurt.
What's the headline? What do they want to talk about at the old water cooler, which nobody ever really does, I don't think, but maybe a little bit.
Do we still got water coolers, like, for real?
That's
for real?
The thing. Yeah, there's not a whole
hanging
lot
out at the water cooler.
Yeah. So
how do people waste time at work nowadays?
Yeah. They're on their phones.
Yeah, home.
Yeah, just in a stall on your phone.
They're on their phones. You got to lead with the quarterback.
All right, so
you got to lead with that. That's the headline.
We're getting video and dispatches from OTAs there in the bubble at NRG Park, and it seems like CJ Stroud, after walking out sans helmet, he does have a helmet. However, or actually, he does. He's not wearing a helmet, but he is holding his helmet as he did on Wednesday, and it does not appear that he will throw much, if at all, today. I think that's the way that Jonathan M. Alexander of the Chronicle has described it. And so we're trying to see if he throws. Somebody says CJ didn't throw yesterday. I'm freaking out. We actually don't know.
We don't know.
And I'll be interested to see if somebody asks Nick Cayley, who I know is going to be available to for the media. In fact, you'll hear that at 11 here on Sports Radio 610. I'm very interested because we know he didn't throw on Wednesday. We don't know whether he threw or not yesterday, which was Thursday. Maybe we get some insight. But at this point, that little nugget, that little mustard seed of what's happening there.
Yeah.
It's growing a little bit now, ain't it?
You're not sounding any alarms. Or are you, Figgy? Are you sounding alarms? I don't know.
Nah, I'm not.
You're not sounding...
I'm not. I'm confident he will be on the field week one.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm at that point.
I am too. DJ Bieniemy. CJ Stroud is all caps not throwing today at OTAs. So...
Okay, but the response that was given to us by head coach Nico Ryans when he was asked about this after OTAs, after practice on Wednesday, was people just have
different timelines,
yeah. Different regimens was kind of the way that he, like, different schedules and regimens, which felt like, okay, is this like a day off versus a day on? Like, is that kind of thing? And it does not feel like it's that. What then is, how do you feel about his response there now that we have the additional data point of CJ Stroud not throwing on Friday as well?
I feel a little bit more like I did on Wednesday, and that's not like I'm with Figgy. You know, I'm not sounding any alarms. I think he will be, hell, first preseason game. You know, he'll be out there. I think at minimum, when you say everybody's on their own timeline, these are all guys that they're monitoring something or another. Not just, it can't be just his arm is tired. This is the first 2 days, 3 days of since the offseason. So his arm can't be tired, but they're monitoring something.
Yes.
I mean,
exactly.
How could his arm possibly be? Did he play baseball in the offseason?
Well, we have no idea what he did in the offseason. He kept it real quiet. Well, shout out to the man. Mm-hmm. But I guess in a way, maybe this is where we did enjoy and appreciate him being pretty visible in the offseason. Mm-hmm. That we kind of could make some assumptions based off of the places that we did indeed see. Yeah, man, I don't know what to do with this, to be completely honest.
Right, that's a better way to put it.
I think more than anything, I just keep looking up and I go, ooh, okay, what could be there, right? What could be, you know, and obviously, I think it'd be kind of absurd to think the guys that played this sport in particular come into every season feeling legitimately 100%. Mm-hmm. And then we know that during the season,
the only time that you could even possibly be 100% is this at the start of it. Like, yeah. Understand all of that. I think for me, that's the part that gets a little interesting, because you are still wondering if the offensive line is going to get to the place that you need it to be sufficient, talk less of maybe even good to great.
Yeah.
And C.J. Stroud is going, like, look, knock on wood, but C.J. Stroud has had to evade in the past, and I don't think it'd be unfair to assume that he might have to evade again. Like, if there is some underlying thing, is it something that can be exacerbated at some point during the season?
And maybe that's what they're doing. You know, that's why they're monitoring. But they're monitoring something. And then there's the narrative, the knuckleheads like us talking about it.
Knuckleheads is probably right, to be fair.
The fans, I won't call them knuckleheads, but the fans who are like, oh, no, you know, or whatever. If I'll go back to this, and I said this on Monday, and I feel a little stronger this way. If you know those narratives and discussions are out there, and you were okay, you know, and I'm not saying he's injured, but, you know, you were good to go. Wouldn't you go just to kind of to shut everybody up?
I mean, he might want to.
Yeah.
Like, this might be, because that's also another part of this, mm-hmm. is how the way that he is standing is I become real reckless, pseudo mm-hmm. body language reader.
Yeah.
The way that he is standing, close to the action, helmet in his hands, almost as if at the first syllable of mm-hmm. a sign to go and throw, he would be in there.
Yeah.
I think he wants to be in that circumstance. Like, knowing who CJ is, seeming the enjoyment that he seems to gain from doing this, the love that he seems to have for the game, I don't think that this is a him holding himself out. Like, this seems like this is an abundance of caution, which we know this organization seems to take. I think all of that makes me feel like it's probably not as big of a thing. However, that little, like I said, that little mustard seed of a question of a doubt. And yes, Joseph, I guess in theory, that is a reference to, like, the biblical faith, the size of a mustard seed. But ultimately, that is pointing to just the smallest little molecule in there. And that's it really is just a small molecule of what's happening there. It's a small little
It's an eclaircy small.
That's not what that means. I don't actually know what it means, but I don't think it's that.
I'm going to use it however I feel.
Okay, actually, I think that's fair. That sounds good. I'm just going to sprinkle in some éclaircissement all throughout the program. All right, so we mentioned that, and we spent a lot of time talking about that. Another thing that it seemed like is already being mentioned and noticed out there at practice, I shout out to Cody Stoops for this one, who I've seen it from at first. It seems like Ariante Ursary got the first crack at left tackle before Cam Robinson, who I think we have largely looked at as the first look left tackle. That's exactly how I think we felt seeing him go be, you know, mm-hmm. out there first on Wednesday. But on top of that, Jalen Thomas, who had played right guard on Wednesday, also has been at left guard. So that's another one of the depth when it comes to the 17 offensive linemen
mm-hmm.
that this team has. But also, interestingly enough, Juice Scruggs, who took no center snaps on Wednesday, snapped at center after Jake Andrews. So I guess Jake Andrews still was the first guy out there at center. Maybe, mm-hmm. like, do we read into that? And then also, Juice is still in the running here. So that's at least, what, four guys that you have rotating in at center. When you go Andrews, Patterson, Scruggs, and then remember Eli Cox, who is the UDFA that's in there as well, right? There's a lot of real, like, they're dedicated, they're true to this. We're gonna shuffle this around, and I'm very intrigued to how much that actually works, because talk about a little bit of doubt. I don't know exactly how that ultimately ends up.
It's not spitballing, but it's just a little bit of everything at now every position. But I feel as if Ursary at left tackle is more like, hey, let's give him some reps there. I think Cam Robinson is still pretty much the left tackle in their view, but give him some reps at both sides. The Scruggs thing is very interesting. I think Jake Andrews, if I had to guess right now, is still probably penciled in, but they like Scruggs. They've said it. Remember,
they do
at center. So that, I think they're giving some reps there.
And I'm still interested, because it feels like the size that he has, or at least had. Mm-hmm. I still have not had an obviously opportunity myself to get a look at him. Feels like it profiles more to center.
Yeah.
And that's, like you mentioned, they've had a lot of love and respect for him. Very intrigued to see how that all comes together. And from the 281 here on the text line, remember, you can always get involved with the program by texting in 713-572-4610. But from the 281, do y'all think the way that the Astros handle injuries cloud our view on the way that the Texans handle injuries?
We might be a little scarred.
I think so, but also the Texans have their own stuff in their own right. Like, if I just were to throw up one thing, Christian Harris, right? Mm-hmm. Like, last year, the way that Christian Harris was handled gave us enough scars in and of itself, right? To then have some level of questions as to what is happening behind the scenes, even if they're handling it possibly the right way. We just don't have the information on the outside to be able to evaluate that. And maybe that's ultimately the point.
As the 281 says, what in the air, Clashy Small, is going on with CJ?
I have no idea. I have no idea. But it feels like we're starting to stumble on the idea that he might be dealing with some level of hurt. I don't know if injured, because, you know, football players like making the distinction between hurt and injured. Might have some little bit of hurt. What does that ultimately mean? I think we can only really take in the data points as we get them and make reasonable assumptions from that. I think right now the reasonable assumption is there's probably a little something there, but I don't know how big of a deal to make.
Would it make y'all feel better if they did come out and say, yeah, it has some soreness throughout the offseason, da da da, but I'd be good?
Actually, yes.
You want the real answer, or you want the answer that I probably should give?
No, it would for me.
Yeah. The probably should it give answer is along with you, where, yeah, it makes you feel better. Yeah. The real answer is no. I feel like I'd become a little bit of the neuroses would set in a different place where I'd be like, oh no.
Yeah, I feel like we freaking out because they're not saying anything.
Yes.
But if they did come out and say that, and they say, yeah, it's just a little minor, but he'd be good week one, mm-hmm, for sure. Ain't nothing to worry about. Then I'd probably feel better.
Yeah, we'll see what it looks like. But again, just another small data point in this. Did not throw Wednesday. Don't know. Like, there's just, we have to remember, it's a don't know, not necessarily a did not throw yesterday, but is not throwing on this Friday OTA. CJ Stroud, the quarterback of this Texans team. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Hope your lunch hour is going great, or if it's just starting out. What we eating? 713-572-4610. Maybe it's an Eclair C Small.
Yeah, it could be. Chocolate.
Is that what you...
Chocolate Eclair C Small.
Okay, there you go.
Or get some crawfish from the, Crafty Craft.
Is that where the fellas are the
crafty
today?
Craft, yeah. I actually know that area pretty well because my guy Calvin, my mechanic, he be over in that area.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to go over there right after.
Oh, so you're going
to get my car straightened out.
All right. Now I want to go too. Now I want to go get some crawfish as well. As Ron, right on schedule, just walks by with the creepiest grin. Just looking like the Cheshire Cat. Looking all wild. All right. Let's talk.
I got to know. Ask Ron, Figgy. Ask Ron why he's staring at.
He was looking because he heard us talking about it, and he said, why everybody keep telling us we in the hood today?
And if you are,
there's a little
cares?
Hood over there.
Hey, is the crawfish good? The community is going to be fine? We going to fellowship?
Their crawfish is actually pretty good.
What's wrong with the hood?
Yeah, that's a great question.
What's wrong with the hood,
he said,
Ron?
Everybody keep telling him we in the hood today.
What's wrong with
then
that?
We don't be in the hood.
We never be in the hood like that. We always be up north. We don't be in the hood like that, right?
Hey, man, some of the best places are in the hood.
A lot of
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Is Ron being a snob?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he is.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ron, Ronald. We're being a snob.
Ronald Charles.
Yeah.
Is that? Okay.
Ronald Charles.
Okay. Ronald Charles. Anyways, we don't have time for that. Let's talk more about this, because Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator of this Houston Texans team, was talking to the TSM media just not more than an hour ago. Was he doing that? And so there was a lot of things to decipher from this, and I do think that he gave us some stuff. Like I was in some ways encouraged hearing some of the things. I think the one that really lit up my eyes was hearing about, you know, how he deems it very important to establish not just the plays, but the why of the play, understanding what the intent is of the play. I think that is going to benefit this team to a great, great effect. However, just the idea of what the actual offense is going to look like is still something that is up in the air, and intentionally so, it seems like, because Nick Caley was talking about how, you know, right now they want to establish basically the details, how to do it, how they want their routes run, which I think is a fantastic foundation to come at this from. Make sure that the foundational details are good so that whatever plays, whatever principles you put on top of that, all of it is with the foundation of good, sound, detail-oriented football. So I love that that's where you start. However, he said a couple of things that I feel like are kind of at odds, and I don't want this to be like I am banging on Nick Caley, but I do think that it is worth acknowledging to some degree. He said that they're continuing to build their scheme, obviously. And that makes sense, right? What it's going to be. There's a lot of multiple things that they could get to that they want to try out. Whatever the things are that I imagine, you know, work with the players when they try them out. And whatever scheme sticks, I think that's what they'll go with. It feels very reminiscent of what they're doing offensively. Throw a whole bunch of guys out there in different circumstances. Whatever sticks is the one that's the best.
Yeah.
It's very market-oriented. It's very allow the market to dictate what you do. I like kind of that as a theory. However, he said the season is a long ways away, as if to say there's still a lot of time to work through this. But then at the same time, he talked about how you're not going to, you know, you're not going to establish the offense in OTAs. I don't know about minicamp. We'll see about that. But really, like, and then when it talked about offensive line, some of those things, those principles, you're not going to be able to get them on their feet and see if they work. Because, again, it feels like a somewhat of a trial and error type situation until training camp. Training camp isn't all that long. So the idea that the season is a long ways away in order to develop the offense, but also some of the most important foundational parts of this is blocking and tackling that you're not going to be able to get on the feet. What? Like, how do those mesh as a timeline? Are you also seeing the discord that's happening in my head about this?
No, look, we said it briefly. And now that I've had a little bit of time to digest everything that we heard and saw from Nick Cayley, I want to add one more thing, but I'll get to that in a second. I do feel like what he's saying and what you just said, they don't jibe because there's so little time for these guys to be on the field together. It's one thing to be working out, one thing to be in the classroom, you know, going over things, but to be on the field 7-on-7, 11-on-11, you know, seeing the linemen, the rotation of the line together against, you know, albeit, you know, defensive front that's not padded, but still against the defensive front, you have to start now. And he knows that. He absolutely does. So I do feel like that, you know, they are starting to get a good feel for things. And then I started thinking about this, and I want to get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
Because I was with you, and I was right there talking.
Uh-oh. I lost you?
No.
I made a left turn where I should have made a right?
But I still think it's true that this is going to be a multifaceted offense. He said it.
I think so as well.
Gaps games, zones games. But I started thinking, because he was talking about what your personnel dictates.
Big, multiple. There was a lot of things. He really put his junk on the table when he started throwing out some of these football
philosophies. He said what your personnel dictates, gaps games, zones games, do what's necessary. It depends on what the players we have. I think he said we got. It depends on the players we got. All right?
Why'd you make that distinction of have versus got?
Because he shouldn't have said God, but that's all right.
Oh, you're going to be a snob right now?
He said it depends on the players we got. And this is where I'm going with this.
Okay.
They chose the players they have. They've changed the players they're getting, the players they have acquired.
I see what you're laying down there.
Better fit the gap scheme, better fit the New England style. Look who's playing starting center right now. If you had to pick, you know, based on what they're doing. It's Jake Andrews.
Oh, it'd be something different if Mark Andrews is out here trying to block up.
Cam Robinson. They've got guys, I don't even know if he's going to play, but they've got guys like Trent Brown, you know, that have that New England gaps game. And then the other part of it that's key to me, he seems to be over the top on Cade Stover. Big, hair on fire is what he said.
Yes.
You know, tight end, et cetera. So, yes, you're right. It is going to be, it's going to depend on the players you have, but you're bringing in players that fit a particular scheme more better. And that, to me, is important.
I'm interested to see if that actually translates in the way that you're saying. Like, I hear what you're saying.
At the guys they brought in. Even Woody Marks, the one they drafted, receiving running back. He's really good running the ball. That guy.
Hey, John.
But he's, you know, he's out of the backfield guy. That fits a particular style as well.
Well, I mean, that can be relatively multiple. These guys you're talking about, I think they can fit multiple different iterations of scheme. I think that's the part of that ultimately that I get back to is, what are the ones that work? I like all of this in theory. I like. Mm-hmm. I think the timeline is just the thing that gets me a little, I guess, anxious for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see if you can get this thing on its feet earlier rather than later. Now, I guess the question that you ultimately then, and I really should fall back to is, how important is it to get this up on its feet in its full mature, iteration by week one? By week five?
Yeah.
Like by week 10? You get what I'm saying? Like at what point does this thing need to be at least mostly, if not fully realized offensively, because to some degree, it's a long season, right? You figure out more about your team during the course of the season as well. And I understand that, and I'm not trying to ignore that. But also, you need to win some of these games during the season to position yourself well, because we're still talking about an AFC that is tough. You still want to give yourself as best a circumstance as you can to go out there and try and contend against the Baltimores, against the Kansas Cities, against the Buffaloes of the world, maybe the Bengals of the world, depending on if they can get their stuff straight and actually get their dudes into camp, right?
those are the teams that you're still looking to contend about, and you still want to make sure you get the wins mm-hmm. that are necessary to get to that place. And so you want to have this offense mostly realized at some point early on, especially because it's going to require a lot from CJ to have an understanding of not just the intent of what you're doing, but then to take that and be able to use that in a way where now at the line of scrimmage, yeah. I have enough of a grasp of what we're trying to do to change it when I need to.
No, I agree, and I think the answer is ideally, and it doesn't always happen this way, week one. I mean, you know,
when you get the Los Angeles Rams on the road.
Week one is when you want it. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have everything locked in. But I do feel like this is, you know, time is so precious right now, especially with a new offense, new offensive line coach, quarterback in a new role, so to speak, in terms of, you know, kind of blocking assignments and adjustments at the line of scrimmage, changing plays at the line of scrimmage. So, I'm with you. I think it's very imperative. And I think that was more smokescreen, but, you know, just not really being telling you everything that they need to tell you because they shouldn't, frankly. But I do think they're kind of honing in on what they want to be and really the players that they want to take those roles.
And now this is a very fair point and a good one made by two texters simultaneously as if they are texting hand in hand as they go to get themselves ready to join the drive on the Crawfish Tour. From the 713, from the 832, the strength of their defense should give the offense a chance to develop. And I think that that is a very fair point and a well-made one. Like, obviously, this is going to require a defense that, one, is way more actualized, and then, two, I think is well apt and capable of carrying the load for a period of time for them to get acclimated. I like that, and I appreciate that, and I think that gives me a little bit more a calmness when it comes to it. But I think ultimately the reason why I bring this up, obviously the timeline is one of it, but I think also it just points to another set of kind of check marks that you're hoping to cross off. It's a lot of things that you want to go right in order to get you to the space, and all of it sounds good, but you have to be able to check off all these things, including can we figure out what the right organization of this offensive line is in the right circumstance? Can that particular offensive permutation of the offensive line play up to the standard? Is that standard enough of a foundation to then do the schematic things that we want to do? Can we execute the schematic things that we want to do at a high level? Do we have all the guys capable of living up to the standard all the way across? Because one of the standards that he established is that everybody, and I do mean everybody, will block, which everybody loves hearing that. I know one of the dudes who loves hearing that, and his name is Clint Sterner, right? Everybody will block. Are you capable of actually doing that, or is that one of those things that you say at this time of year that ultimately you get into the season you can't really live up to? I think there's a lot of things.
That's what he's going to – I think he said that's a non-negotiable, period. He went non-negotiable and period. No, I think that's definitely going to be part of the scheme.
Yeah, so that's the thing is I keep looking at it, and I think that, yes, you do have a pathway for this to get right, and I think I feel good about the way that they're going about it. I just wonder if they'll be able to stick the landing for even sometimes circumstances that are outside of their purview, which is just kind of the timeline, and circumstances that are kind of in it. Where the who you chose on the offensive line, the guys you decided to ultimately have there, and some of those things.
And just to reiterate, when he was talking about and asked about C.J. Stroud, he did say no concerns whatsoever.
Right.
Which, you know, obviously we always wanted to see him throwing the football, but he's on his own timeline. He reiterated that as well. But it is important to your point about timelines and getting this offense rolling at ASAP and being ready for the season opener. You know, he talked about mental reps and in the film room and involved in the communication and on the field and all that. Still, you do need that. You do need him to get on the field and start seeing some of these things and making some of these calls with his helmet on.
Yeah, but I, at the very least, one thing I can tell you, right? Because and he's there. His toes are on the boundary line. In his essence, like in the videos that I see, he looks like at the first sound, at the first indication that they are willing to get him involved with whatever, you know, outside of the whatever caution it seems like they're taking in keeping him from throwing right now, he's up for it. He wants to jump in there. I can tell the excitement. We can tell the excitement from, you know, when we heard him after Nick Haley was introduced in the, you know, having more, or was that after the season actually, where, you know, having more of a hold on what the offense is going to be. You could hear the excitement that's in his voice. And some of that I imagine is for just the fact that he'll have that. And some of it seems like it just comes from Nick Haley, who seems like it's going to be more of a team project. Everybody's going to be involved, which I think generally when you have group projects where everybody gets involved, it gives you more of an opportunity for people to have ownership and more of an opportunity to really have innovative solutions to problems.
Well, the ownership thing, I think, was probably the most encouraging and enlightening thing that he said when he was, you know, because clearly we knew there was some issues between Bobby Slowik and maybe even some other coaches, Bobby Slowik and the offensive line, Bobby Slowik and C.J. Stroud. We know that now. But one of the things that he emphasized is he is encouraging players to ask why. So there is going to be that line of communication, and that specifically means C.J. Stroud. You know, C.J. Stroud wants to have a bigger voice. He's going to have a bigger voice.
Yeah. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Really excited to see more and more about this Texas as we get, you know, we see that progress, especially on the offense. Man, if that offense can hit the marks that they are setting up for it, this could be a problem. Mm-hmm. As I think we'll get to some audio. I think Chris Sims of NBC has similar feelings about this as well. But yeah, man, from the 832. Yeah, I think Ron is being bougie, man. Somebody said Ron's going to make sure he presses his car alarm today. And this is the part that made me laugh. Maybe even bring out the club. When was the last time you thought about the club?
I saw somebody probably like a month ago.
No, we still using it right to this day.
Yes, I was.
Does the club actually work?
It was just a hassle.
Do people know what the club is, by the way? I just realized that might be a dating thing.
Chrome or steel or whatever bar.
It go across the steering wheel.
Yeah, across the steering wheel to try and stop people from being able to turn it, which obviously would stop people from being able to abscond with your car.
I was getting in my car. I looked over and somebody had the club on their car. No, I'm like, damn.
Oh, Brandon on the YouTube says he keeps the club in his car. Are we really? Is the club really still out here?
It is, hey, I guess.
Man, it's a good weapon too, man.
Mm-hmm. Wait, don't say that out loud. Somebody gonna have to come talk to
you. Oh, it is. Oh, people in the hood know about the club as a weapon.
All right, here you go. You're in the loop right here on Sports. The club, I ain't heard about that in decades. All right, here on Sports Radio 610.
Oh, boy. Welcome back in as we are live here on The Drive. I want to get to this, Clint, because, yes, for the most part, you are absolutely getting crushed.
As you should.
Some people saying... you got to remember, Clint did spend half his life with his hands between another man's sweaty legs.
I did.
So he's used to that.
I did, and there was a good chunk of my career during games. I would lick my right hand, which is the top hand that was coming smooth out of somebody's ass.
Oh my God!
Joe Ferguson broke me of that. Joe Ferguson broke me of that. So, hey man, you got that towel you got hanging on your hip? Once you wet it, and then you don't have to lick your hand. I said, okay, that sounds like a good idea.
Then so someone else texted in, that's not sweat, it's liquid greatness.
If they want to wipe
that off, then they can go grab a membership, a handful of Tootsie Rolls and a slice of pizza and a bagel from Planet Fitness.
Yeah, go back.
My mom has had great success at Planet Fitness.
Go back to your gaming room. You don't have to worry about any sweat in there. And you can turn the lights down real low, it doesn't hurt your eyes or anything, everything will be fine. That's all. I mean, anybody else, you want to get some real work in? Let me know.
Hell with wiping that stuff down. Yeah. We'll deal with that later. All right.
I need to know where when you do wipe it, like what extent? Like when you get up off that, what do you feel? Is it every bench you use?
Yeah. If I use, like, I don't do it on like kettlebells or.
Well, yeah, surely not.
Good that's job. What I said. This lady,
if you're
was,
wiping down kettlebells. Said, I'm mad at
that's
you.
That's what I said. This lady was a little overboard. I watched her sitting up. She hit the dumbbells. She hit the kettlebells. She had used. She went over there. But the spot I go to, they got, you know, you can just take the roll off. I just take the roll off and I just wipe, you know, everywhere.
Do you look at
the handles and everything?
Do you look at it? The handles and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Hell no.
You know how dirty human hands are, bro?
I'm just saying, while I'm there, you might as well hit it. I've got it out. I'll run it.
Takes 2 seconds.
Now, or like in Red's gym, shout out to Red Zone, they got the spray. Hit the spray, bam.
I blame it on COVID.
Wipe it on down.
Or you just get yourself a home gym like me.
I'm certain I wiped down before COVID. I'm certain that was... That
didn't, oh, yeah, me too.
Just even increased even more.
It's what a gentleman does.
Yeah. All right, Clint.
What a shame.
It is.
I'm disappointed.
Not surprised.
I will definitely have you good and pissed off like I do my wife in workouts. Hey, Ron, get over here. We're tired of wiping this down. Get over here and get the next set in, man. Yeah, we are supersetting stuff. Let's go,
all
man.
Right, I'll get
Come
there.
Come on, you're on the clock, Chief.
I'll get there in just a second.
That's it.
I'll get there in just a second.
I quit. One workout.
Not super
I quit.
Time consuming.
Yeah, it's a quick march, man. Just bam, hit it. There you go. On to the next.
And you're getting steps in?
Okay. All right.
That was a joke. That was a joke.
All right. I've seen this from a lot of Texans fans. I've heard people talk about this and kind of changes potentially to C.J. Stroud from years one and two to year three and things that can help. And one thing that I've heard a lot is, you man, he could use his legs more. C.J. could use his legs. He can run. He could get some hidden yards there and use his legs and stuff. You know, they'll look at other quarterbacks. Mahomes is a popular one to use about how he gets, you know, certain first downs and things like that with his legs.
CJ with the legs.
I'm interested into hearing your thoughts on knowing the type of quarterback CJ is, understanding his skill set and his speed and all of that and his importance. By the way, just some notes. His rookie year, he rushed it for...
He did what?
Rushed it. He rushed.
He chemically changed, man.
I like that.
He rushed it. He rushed.
Down that damn ring.
He rushed 39 times for 167 yards, got three touchdowns. Last year, 52 rushes for 233 yards, no touchdowns. So that's what he's done the first 2 years. 713-572-4610. You can jump in on that. What's your thoughts about CJ using his legs more? Is that something that you think he should be looking at? Should be something that you're looking at to see if that's a part of his game he adds?
No. There should not be an emphasis on CJ Stroud.
It's using talked his about legs. A lot.
CJ Stroud needs to protect himself by getting the ball out of his hand, first and foremost. Secondly, now there's things that CJ Stroud needs to do. CJ Stroud had a tendency last year, which with the leaky front, which I'm putting it nicely, the awful pass protection obviously drove him this way. He has a tendency to want to drift one direction, where so much so to where the defense can almost play to it, right? And so what CJ has to really work on is if he can get the middle of his protection somewhat shored up where he at least has a chance, is by habit, I want to push hard back up in the pocket. And when I do escape, I escape up the middle, get north and south, get some yardage and get down. I don't want to float to the sideline. I don't want to extend plays to the sideline. One, there's bad decisions get made out there. Two, the defensive players have free runs at you, long free runs at you where they're full speed. You don't want that. You're not going to win much of those battles right there. Not to mention, look, anybody that wants to see, this is what I challenge, anybody that wants to see CJ use his legs more, we do understand that CJ Stroud, I've not seen one called running play for CJ Stroud since I've been here. So everything that people are referring to is off script, off schedule, right?
Mahomes, I'll see that. Mahomes did. Someone just texted Tom Brady did it effectively.
Tom Brady was as good as there is out there in the sense of pushing up in the pocket, getting across the line of scrimmage, the shortest point A to point B, getting north and getting down, and his old slow ass would still do it effectively. Yes, Mahomes is on a different level. He's much more athletic than I think people realize he is, and he plays in a with a freestyle fashion. Stylistically, a little bit more freestyle than I'd be comfortable CJ Stroud playing. He takes way too much risk. I said this before. I don't care if you're training young quarterbacks or we're talking about analyzing older quarterbacks that are at NFL, college level, NFL level. I think you get into, boy, somebody should do something like Mahomes, you lose me immediately. Right? We've seen one Mahomes, man. There's one Mahomes out there. There's one Lamar Jackson out there. Right. If you want to throw Mike Vick back in the day in that category, cool. That's fine. There's two of them. Okay. Right. We shouldn't be doing things or expecting guys to do things like those particular players. CJ Stroud's focus needs to be on you play the position the way Joe Montana played the position. You play the position the way Tom Brady played the position. Distribute the football on time, accurately. Keep your jersey clean. Don't take as little risk as you possibly can, and when it comes time, you take the risk down the field because you have the talent to drive the football down the field. If the game dictates that you drive the football down the field, you drive the football down the field. If the game dictates you throw for 350, you go throw for 350, you get aggressive. If the game is coming to you and you're comfortable, hey man, you're staying upright, you're taking no hits, you're getting the ball out of your hands, you're staying ahead of the chains, and we're winning ball games. That's C.J. Stroud's focus, no doubt about it. The question here in Houston, the question is this right here. right now in Houston, what is Gerard Johnson and what is Nick Caley pushing into CJ Stroud's head? They and this is hindsight, right? This is hindsight. It's always 2020. But you look back last year, I believe coaching failed CJ Stroud from a messaging perspective, right? Building the roster to be this five-headed monster, talking about being aggressive from jump, coming from CJ Stroud and Bobby Slowick from jump.
Bobby.
That whole outlook, that whole approach, now it blew up in their face bigger than everything, so it's easy to say right now. That approach was a poor decision. It was poor messaging to the quarterback. It was a poor decision, and they've got to backtrack a little bit and get it toned down a bit and get C.J. Stroud. The key is this. As talented as C.J. Stroud is, because he could do it all. He could go out there and be more aggressive and win some games and put up huge numbers. He could do that if he wanted to. The key is, can C.J. Stroud, does C.J. Stroud have the ability to go, hey, man, I got to go out here and just take this profit. I got to go out here and never go broke taking these profits. And you know what? If in the first half we go down the field and we're up 17-0 because our defense is nails and their offense has turned it over three or four times, we come out, we Cadillac in the second half. We chew more clock. We go home with a victory, right? You get down 17-0. You get in a shootout versus one of these high-powered offenses. Hey, now we got to get aggressive. You have that luxury with C.J. Stroud. But C.J. Stroud's mentality is it needs to be – less is more. I know people don't like to hear that, but that is the way that C.J. Stroud is going to be the best version of C.J. Stroud.
I get the idea and the thought of it of, hey, picking up some key first downs with your legs, doing some things to extend a drive, having that threat.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand where people kind of come from that. I think a lot of people see that playoff game against the Chiefs, and he had 6 carries, 42 yards. There was a couple of long runs there.
Yeah.
But Clint, every time I see him, when I watch him, I'm like, he seems to be one that takes hits when he runs. And my whole thing is a health thing, because we want to avoid Davis.
He got
one across the knee, didn't get out of bounds well enough, and maybe that comes with learning. But it just seems like he takes real hits when he goes. And I'm always thinking, get down, get down, get down.
Ryan, you're hitting a nail on the head. The C.J. Stroud that everybody's referring to with the legs, even the Georgia game where he showed me something that I didn't know that he had, even that game, it's all survival mode. Very rarely have we seen C.J. Stroud push up in the pocket. Oh, look, the middle of the field's wide open. Let me go get Tim. Boom, get down. Right, and slide 5 yards short of everybody else. I don't care, right? Very rarely have we seen that controlled, let me push up in the pocket, let me go get it. It's always the late fade to the sideline one way or another, escaping some crazy-ass pressure and throwing sideways to Nico Collins, who's falling out of bounds. The controlled aspect of it, yes. The problem is what we're talking about here, what the texter's asking is, like, you can't, what we're talking about is not a play call. What we're talking about is simply C.J. Stroud being more comfortable in using his legs. Sure, okay, that would help. I don't think there's a focus should be put on that. Yeah. You know,
it shouldn't be like, hey, man, this is an answer to some of the, I'm going to have C.J. run to run people out of coverages
that,
or do
right. C.J. Stroud using his legs more often should be a result of playing the position a certain way, right? Hey, I get cover two. I get some kind of split safety. I got a light box. I'm going to drop back. I know I may have Nico down the side, but I don't want to really force it in there. The backers are dropping 10 yards deep. Hey, I got good, decent protection up the middle, and this thing parted a little bit. Let me go get 10 yards, right? Instead of dropping back, patting the football, trying to squeeze it in a tight window, you know, that kind of thing. Like, that's all young quarterbacks do it. We've seen both from C.J. Stroud. We've seen really good. We've seen really conservative, taking all the risk out of the position, and we've seen aggressive and adding additional risk to a struggling offensive line. We've seen both sides of C.J. Stroud. Where does he settle in as a quarterback? And that, to me, that's going to dictate whether he's going to have the ability to truly make a run to a Super Bowl, or is he truly going to have the ability to stay healthy and not get banged up and play 17 games. We'll see where CJ lands there.
A couple of people from the text line, Lauren Mack will jump with the ladies. I agree. I heard Mixon speaking last year about how he was telling CJ he needs to use his legs and run more, and I thought that was ill-advised. Others talking about, come on, Clint, let's... oh, they're talking about working out again. Never mind. someone else texted in, I want my quarterback throwing the ball, not running it. But you don't want that. He needs to get the ball out of his hand promptly. Don't try to be Lamar Jackson or Mahomes, as kind of you mentioned.
Yeah,
and look, there is.
I just don't think he should focus on it. There is something within your quarterback training to where I remember vividly last year, backed up. He's dropping back in the end zone. He damn near pulled the Dan Orlovsky and ran out of the back of the end zone. Tytus Howard got dumped in his front side, like got dumped right in front of him. I think it ended up being an incomplete pass. But there was, like, in that, your clock needs to speed up in that moment. Again, you push up in the pocket. You don't drift out wide because you're backed up, right? So you push up in the pocket. There were a couple opportunities where he needs to be more conscious. My clock's going to speed up because I'm backed up in my own end zone. I'm going to push up in the pocket. I'm going to tuck this thing and go get fired. Just get us out.
All right, welcome back as we're live at The Drive. Shout out to all of our winners, even you, Cynthia. Shout out to all of our winners as they have taken them home. Our final winner, Sonia, gets the dub, $25 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm telling you, get them $25 to Academy Sports and Outdoors. People want to get there.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. People got an idea of what they want to get now, and it always gets a little.
Can't put it in there once now.
A little aggressive here, and you can only win once. You can win once, all right. But congratulations to all our winners. We appreciate everybody here. Shout out to the entire staff. Shout out to our guy Love, who held us down. The entire staff here at the Crafty Crab did a great job taking care of us throughout the show. Also, our promo staff, shout out to them as well as she takes care of us. Great job. Good to see her. Well, it's been a while since we see T. Good to see her in the building. Also, our engineer, Matt, who has kept us. I said T. All right? Damn. My God. I said her, and then I said her name. Damn. I mean, here we go. I'm going to try to. Shout out to our engineer, him, Matt, for holding us on the air and on YouTube and Twitch, as well as Tyler, who is at the station. Tyler, him, producer. Shout out to Tyler.
Yeah, y'all give it up for Tyler. Let's hear you.
There you go. Tyler's cheering himself on right there. Obviously, shout out to Reggie. A midday host coming up to
always support
The Drive and trying to correct people and put me on the spot. It's a damn shame. Just listen. You should have listened, and you wouldn't have been in that spot. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access. Down, by the way, I saw John Harris today. He's in game mode.
Oh, there ain't no doubt.
John Harris is in game mode.
When is he not in game mode?
He's in game mode. He was in game mode. You know that situation when you go to speak to somebody and you kind of know what time it is by what they give you, and then you go ahead and just move on and give them what they need?
Yeah.
I seen, as Nick Cayley was talking, I said, hey, John. He said, hey, Ron. I said, okay, man, he's focused. Yeah. He's telling him. He's focused. He's focused, baby.
Hey, the only time in a year that John Harris has broken character on me is the Hall of Fame deal. He stopped in the hallway.
Well, he's broken character.
No, 100%. I mean, in a year. I don't mean that disrespectfully, by the way. I mean, just like he is serious, man. He's serious.
It's ball out there, and John's serious about it. And that's why you need to listen to Texans All Access every night.
He is consistent with it.
Yeah, him and Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, they got it. They'll look at day three of OTAs today as well, and they'll also do a little preview and talk about those joint practices they got coming up with the Lions and the Panthers. So stay tuned for that. Also following them, Area 45, late night, the best late night sports talk show here in Houston, 7 to 11, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, and Chris Santiago. They blow any other late night sports talk show out of the water. So make sure you stay tuned. And listen to those guys. Nothing better in the city of Houston late night than Area 45. And then here in a little bit, Tyler will get those best bets. He needs a big night. Need a big night, Tyler.
Need a big night to get yourself
Let's
back
put
into
it
the
gently.
Nope. I almost took the bait on that. That's putting it gently. I stayed out of it. In my mind, I thought, should I say it? And then when I said that to myself,
I was going to set
the hell out of that hook.
I know you would have. I know you would have. So,
on a Friday.
Stay tuned for that as we continue. Clint, we talked a lot about what we saw at OTAs today, their third practice, second one open to the public here and to the media. And we heard Aziz talking about where he has seen Will Anderson grow and the leadership grow. And Clint, it is – we have, I think, definitely, Clint, moved to a space from the maturation process of him as a rookie kind of feeling his way and kind of doing things. And, all right, here there's some of the veterans that I'm kind of with and behind, the Jerry Hugheses of the world, the guys up front. Then to the next year of filling things out a little bit more and kind of looking up to a guy and watching a guy like Danielle Hunter and all the vets there. To now, Clint, he is the voice you hear when you walk into the building, when you hear on the field, 51's the voice you hear. You hear him coming. The intensity is unlike anybody else on the field. You can start to see this becoming – like Will Anderson's team, and we're at practice, Clint. There was nobody else who stuck out more than Will Anderson that you couldn't even mention the practice or mention anything without seeing Will Anderson as he was right there doing his thing all throughout practice.
Yeah, look, whether it's the individual periods that they're working, he was right there next to us, so we got to see it firsthand today. But if he's not working with the group, he's on the side with a personal coach, and he's working hand placement, he's working moves, he's working the stuff that we hear him talk about when he talks to the media. And then when he's on the field in any kind of team setting, he's being disruptive as hell. I'm sure you ask him, he'd just say he's practicing hard. You ask the offensive line and the quarterback and everybody else, you say, yeah, we ain't got no pads on, he's probably going a little bit overboard. But Will Anderson, you know, you talk about taking the team over. Like, it is – typically, when you got a quarterback the caliber of CJ come in along with Will Anderson, that caliber edge rusher, it's usually the quarterback that you would bet, especially when they both have really good years first right out of the gate. And let's be honest, CJ had a good year last year. The protection just sucked, and he wasn't able to get in a groove. But CJ didn't have an awful year last year. But anyway, you know, I think naturally the thought is, hey, the quarterback's the one that's going to kind of separate and take the team over. I would be willing to bet that – I know Will Anderson is closer to, but I'd be willing to bet that it's – as you mentioned, it's more likely to be Will Anderson than CJ. Like, and I think it has to do with the fact that CJ's in a unit where, man, they're producing. They're humming. There's no slowing them down. They're getting better. That's going to be the identity of this team. And I think CJ's got to spend a lot of time, especially now, focusing on getting this offense right and figuring out a way they can score some points.
Yeah, it is just wild to see the growth factor in him. Just not as just much as a player, but just where he is. It is absolutely. Like it was wild to be today. Then the level that he is in intensity and want to is completely different than anybody else on the field. It feels like his level of want to, like it's like he has been. He couldn't wait for this day.
Yeah.
That's the way he looks. Like he looks like you, and you've said this about him. I think it's even more like they're at times they might have to just sit him down from practice or something. They might have to, like, hey man, let's load manage him, cuz he's going to run himself.
You almost there. Well, it's a double-edged, not a double-edged sword, but it's possible, because if you take him and say, man, we're going to take you out of team drills today so that we can get some stuff done offensively, you know, then what he'll do is go over on the sideline with his private coach and work. Right. He'll get a 30-minute session in with a private trainer, right?
Yeah,
I mean, so you really don't mind if he'll accept it. You really don't mind doing it, because you know he's going to go somewhere and get working. He's not going to stand around and talk and chit-chat and be a distraction. Yeah. So, yeah, man, there's a – that's a different animal, man. That is a different animal. I'm looking forward to watching him. The next 2 years for him, you're talking about a guy, he's already absolutely tremendous, but you talk about a guy that, I mean, man, there's no telling. The sky's the limit for this cat.
All right, Tyler, let's finish this thing off right, man. I already see one I love. Let's finish this thing off right, Tyler. Let's get these best bets. Make some people some money on a Friday going into the weekend. T-Mill, what you got tonight?
Yeah, we need it in a bad way. We need it. And, well, as I typically say to you guys, scared money don't make no money. So, we got six more bets tonight on a Friday.
Six. Okay.
Six of them bad boys. We ain't scared.
Yeah, I know.
Time to get a prof.
Lost three of them last night, but I hear you. Go ahead. We're going six. Why not?
I got to watch all three of those losses live and in person, too. It sucked. All right. Here are your six baseball bets on a Friday night. Three of these are going to be for this Astros-Rays game tonight with Framber on the bump, so stay tuned for that. A's at Blue Jays. First of all, I'm on the under for that game, under 9 runs in that one. Next bet for you is an under, very similar. Red Sox at Braves, under 9.5. You got the hook there. Then I got the Mets, minus 1.5, as they host the suck-ass Rockies tonight. I got mine
at...
I'll
take that. Yeah. I'm not telling you I take that. I would take that if I was betting, but I've got these floors.
Yeah, let me know if you want me to make a
bet. I don't want in. I can't afford it.
Yeah, you can. But Mets minus 1.5 playing those crappy-ass Rockies. I got the odds at minus 150. And then here are your three Astros bets for this game tonight real quick as they look to rebound off that assing last night at Daikin Park. Astros money line. I think they rebound, get the win tonight with Framber on the bump against those Rays. Then I'm also on the Astros over 3.5 total runs again. Probably my favorite bet of this board tonight. And then one player prop. If you haven't heard, the first baseman, Christian Walker, he is back for a spot in the Astros tonight. The hand is fine. I'm on Christian Walker over 1.5 total bases this evening. The force will be strong.
Ooh, that Christian Walker, that one's dicey. That Christian Walker one coming right back in.
Ballsy pick.
Can get two hits. That one's dicey.
Cojones.
I like what you're playing here with the that A's A's Blue Jays game. The Blue Jays scored 11 runs in the first three innings of the game yesterday. So maybe they've gotten all runned out. So hopefully that is the case there, that they've got all runned out. So I get that one as well. I do like the Mets minus 1.5. That one is good, as well as I like that. That money line between the with Framber going between the Astros and the
how much you want me to put down for you?
Just think it.
20?
Think it. Whatever you are. Think it.
All right. Can you tell?
Yeah. All right. That's it. You don't want none on this?
I don't want nothing, man. I'm good.
You good? You good. All right. Don't want nothing.
I'm good.
All right. Come on out. Again, we enjoyed you. Had a good time. Come on out with us next week. Fortunately, I will not be here. But come on out with us next week. It should be the last one. I'm expecting a big crowd here. We got two more. Oh, it's not the last one. Oh, there is. There's two more. That's right. Okay, I thought it was 10. There's two more. So I won't miss the last one. How about that? So come on out and hang
out.
We'll
blow number 10 out of the water for you.
We'll blow number 10. Thank you. I'm sure you will. But it was a good time today. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Hey, congratulations to our guy, Everett. Who got him a nice, awesome promotion. We appreciate everything you've done with us. So congratulations to you, Everett.
Well,
I am Ron, the show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. And the world's all right with me. Just one look at you. And I know it's gonna. Is that your sexy voice right there? Would you just play?
No.
He done got background music going.
I don't know why. Mine starts with a licking of the lips.
Oh, yeah.
It's mine. That's how mine.
That made me feel uncomfortable. Start.
Need me to wipe that off for you?
Want me to show you the 50 states, girl?
Hey, I don't need no
spray. Tyler said 50 states.
Coming up, some news about Yordan Álvarez. Keep it up. Maybe the most beloved player, especially to the coaching staff and some of his teammates. And don't let them panties hit you.
Everywhere.
At the door. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.
Now, Kathy Bates, that's a bad bitch right there.
I don't know how long.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.